Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. Today we are continuing our journey, Seven Ways to Healing, and all of us need healing in some way or another. In fact, we won't be fully made whole until we're recreated in that earth made new. But we can be more useful to Jesus and to God and to His purpose in our lives if we take time to heal. And this chapter that we're talking about is Take Time to Grieve. With three of the seven ways to choose healing already covered, it's time to consider something of incredible importance, grief. Did you have big dreams for your life? Have those dreams been shattered? Maybe, like me, you are one of the many people who have had dreamed of greatness, and I'm speaking of Stephen Arterburn here. It is safe to say that no one has ever had a dream to be abused, neglected, or otherwise mistreated. Instead, I'm rather certain that you, like me, dream big dreams with bright futures, great expectations, and a lovely life. So, as you think about some of the experiences, you can draw on our scripture reading today, which is taken from Isaiah 53:3. Jesus was a man of suffering and familiar with our pain. And sometimes it's so easy to think that we're the only ones going through what we've gone through. In fact, many people who have not totally processed how to connect and how to be honest with themselves and to take time to grieve are come across as very self-centered. So here's some big questions you can ask. Have I refused to grieve my shattered dreams? Have I refused to grieve the painful experiences in my life? So those two elements, if you can look at that, you can start the process. I think I would like to add a third one, and that is, as you get older, you begin to face your mortality. You're going to die. You're going to leave your loved ones. And that is a grief all of its own. So you never stop not having something to grieve about. There was a time when I allowed my ungrieved past to damage my future. We don't want anybody to do that, but we all do it. Then one day I was in a counseling session with a man I trusted. I opened up about feelings of experiences in my past. He handled my feelings as if everything had just happened yesterday and as if my resulting feelings were the worst kind of hurt he'd ever dealt with. My counselor invited me to do this. He invited me to make the tough choice to grieve my broken expectations and let go of them. He invited me to accept life as it was, and he invited me to heal my future. And I invite you to do the same three things. So in this process of our healing, we can reflect on our own life. Is there pain in your past that you are struggling with? It's now time to grieve about it. We have many prayer requests. Andrea is asking prayer for her husband who just tested positive for COVID and he's really sick. I know that it's touching people in my own sphere of influence, and some get very sick and others just get a little sinus infection and it's gone in a day or two. It just doesn't seem to have any rhyme or reason. We're praying for a family that has their child has been diagnosed with cancer, and that big C word is terrifying. And so let's just hold all of these situations up to the Lord. Dear Lord, we're praying for Andrea today and her husband. We're praying for the family whose child recently was diagnosed with cancer. We're praying for our nation and healing. And Lord, we pray for this show that our words will be your words and that we will have it as an act of worship. All this I pray, Lord, in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. Well, today we're going to talk about mailing a hug. With all of the things that have gone on and not being able to get with our families, I love this idea of mailing a hug. It's very simple. You just take and make handprints of your little ones, cut them out. They can decorate them. They can put stickers on them. And then you hook a ribbon or a piece of crepe paper or not. I've put quite a few ideas on my Pinterest site. In fact, you can go to MRGamblin2. That is my Pinterest call letters. And I put it in the family fun crafts. So just get busy and start making those hugs today. And you can even take and put a little picture of your child in the palm of the hand. And it will be so memorable. I can't imagine one person who wouldn't like to receive a hug in the mail. So just have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. Let's start from the very beginning. It's always great to do a reset in your program. And for those of you that are new in homeschooling or maybe even a new teacher listening to this show, it's good to reset. And I think after every vacation, there should be a reset. Go over the rules and structure of your program. Actually help your children think of taking off their child hat and putting on their student hat. And you think of taking off your mommy hat or your daddy hat and putting on your teacher hat. Just that little act of doing that helps us to behave differently. And with a reset, it's usually our behaviors that we want to modify. We can look back and see that, hey, it's beginning to fall apart. Our children are not responding and like we'd like them to. In fact, we're not responding to them like we'd like to. So have a reset. Look at the rules. And I like students to actually be part of the rulemaking. So give them each a piece of paper. One half is how they're going to behave when they come into school, into your homeschool, into whatever education day or making it when that time comes, this is how I'm going to behave. And then on the other half of the page, have them write down how they want you to behave. And this can become a real useful tool. I put these posters up and I refer to them with the students too. I go, look it, I'm treating you with respect. You wanted me to treat you with respect. At the same time, you agreed to treat me with respect. You agreed to get your learning supplies out and get ready for learning. You agreed to treat your siblings with respect. You agreed, you know, and so it helps you to remind them of what they agreed to do. And that's a great tool for resetting and beginning a new year in your education and beginning a new year in their education. Questions parents ask. So we've been talking about the emerging adult. The question was from a listener who said that they had their 18-year-old daughter and she had literally packed everything out and moved out. And this really is, you know, it's a type of grief when your child launches. And I'm here to tell you that often they come back again. But how can you help that launching be more organized and more with intention? So we've been talking about it. We've been talking about, you know, be patient, be curious with them. Don't just tell them everything what they're going to expect and tell them the right ways to do things. And then acknowledge the facts. There's some basic structure, like if you live in this house, you still have to follow these rules. You're still a good example for the younger children and that kind of thing. You have established some boundaries. And today we're going to talk about accept. So accepting that young adult at where they're at is probably one of the biggest challenges that parents have, because you want so much for that child. And here, maybe they got a scholarship to go to the university and they're declining that scholarship because that's just not what they want to do. You need to accept that graciously. Or maybe they've chosen for their significant other someone that you don't really approve of. You need to accept that. Or maybe there's some gender issues going on. That's probably a really hard pill to swallow, but you need to accept it. By accepting it doesn't mean that you're approving of it, but you accept it and you can tell that child in all honesty, I love you and I trust that the decisions you make will be the best for you. And that's all you can do. Well, we still have to get through a couple of more things I want to talk about on this, so we'll handle it again tomorrow. You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion, or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Or call us at 301-824-3162. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Homeschool Companion. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and today we're going to talk with Mark Smeeby. And the name is a unique name, spelled S-M-E-B-Y. Welcome to the show. I'm going to just go through your bio here so my listeners can be as impressed as I am.
Oh. Terrific.
So he is a Nashville-based author, musician, speaker, who is all about hope, creating products, resources, and live events all focused around the topic of hope. He travels the country sharing the message of hope through his music and speaking engagements in a variety of locations, from churches, corporations, schools, and prisons. His naturally syndicated radio feature, The Live Hope Minute, is heard on 250 outlets throughout the U.S., Canada, and South Africa. Smeeby is also a spokesperson for Prison Fellowship International Children of Prisoners Program, and you can learn more if you go to pfi.org. He has released 6 music CDs, including the companion CD project to The Messenger, A Journey into Hope, his first published book in 2016, and he has also acted in co-starring roles for 2 episodes of ABC CMT's hit television series Nashville, as well as the feature films Because of Gracia, One Message, The Perfect Gift, and The Hepburn Girls. You can go to these websites to learn more. LiveHopeNow.com, is that a good one?
That's enough, yeah. LiveHopeNow.com.
That's enough.
Yeah, I mean, there's all social media stuff. If you want to go to Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, you can find me there.
Well, and that's why I spelled your name, S-M-E-B-Y, yeah. Because that's an interesting name.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And we're talking specifically today about your devotional. And so is it Live Hope Minute?
It is,
yes. I think I said Live Hope
that's
Minute
okay.
before.
It works. It works both ways. I could have called it No Hope, like K-N-O-W, like here's how you know hope. But I want to go beyond just what we know to how we live it out. So
yes.
I want it to be the Live Hope Minute.
Live Hope Minute. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rose.
And why? Let's just start by, you can lay the background as to why hope is so important to you.
To me personally, wow. Because I grew up in the church, and maybe like a lot of people listening right now, I grew up in the church. I learned all the right things to say, the right things to do, and if I can just be honest, there's a lot of times I didn't feel like it was working, like there was something wrong with me. Like I could see it working in everyone else around me, but there was something that I wasn't doing right. That put me on a treadmill of, well, I just need to do more,
mm-hmm.
you know, read the Bible more, mm-hmm. pray more, get involved in the youth group, or join the puppet ministry, or, you know, like you could get really busy, and some of that's great. I'm not discounting any of that. Some of that's really, really good stuff. But at the end, I still felt like there was something wrong with me. And this, all through this, I'm so thankful. I know that God held on to me. But it sent me on this quest to cut to the core of what is this Christianity all about? Like, what is the core of the gospel message? And I've landed on this concept of hope that through the writings and the resources, the devotionals, the radio show, my music, I set out to define that and clarify that in different people's, for people, and wherever they're at in their journey, so that hope is something that is not based on circumstances or feelings, but it transcends that. Does that make sense?
Yes, and you know, when anybody learns something, part of what God intends is for you to share it creatively. So
yes.
What happened or how did you do that?
Yeah, my love is music. So it initially started with music because music has played such a big impact on my life growing up. You'd hear a certain song and you feel like you're not alone. So when I started writing music and I made my first CD back in 2010, I started doing concerts. People started playing me on radio stations. But people started connecting with the hope message in my songs. And just to be honest, I was kind of surprised by that because it wasn't intentional. It was truly like this is what's coming out of my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the importance of hope for myself that I need to know it, but how it was coming across to other people started to bring focus to my ministry and bring focus to my creative efforts. So it started with the music, and then I started to say, well, how can I shape my live events? How can I create other resources, tools for people to know hope as well?
So I can imagine one of my listeners going, well, he's had a blessed life. He can't possibly know the horrific experiences that I'm in the midst of or have encountered. How do you minister to that person about hope?
That's a great question, and I can't fathom what some people go through. I can't fathom what some people have to suffer through for years and decades. What I can relate to is the feeling of hopelessness. I struggle with depression, and it's one of those things that sometimes you can't get out of bed, mm-hmm. even though you know you're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
On a lighter day, like maybe I can't write an email that I know I need to write because I just can't, and it doesn't make any sense. And so whether that depression is something that I was born with or that has come upon me, whatever it is, it is something that I have to deal with, and God has not chosen to lift that off of me. God has not chosen to eliminate that from my life. Just like some of these people listening right now, God has not chosen to lift that burden off, not to lift that struggle or that disease or that brokenness. God is not choosing to do that. And I can either look at God and say, I am so mad at you. Why are you not doing this? Which, yes, I do have those days as well. But I have to say, if I'm claiming to be a Christian, I have to have my faith rooted in something other than the fact that God is going to rescue me. He might, and I hope he does. And I hope whoever is listening, I hope that God brings healing and restoration to your brokenness. I hope that happens. But we're not promised that. But we are promised that God is with us through it all. I am promised that God is with me, whatever has happened in my day. He's also promised to take care of me. So I picture like being held in the hands of God, and that God is caring for me in ways that I can't see or imagine, but I know that he is. And so while I can't relate to specific circumstances that people are going through, I do understand hopelessness, and that has made me fight even stronger to clarify what hope is for me and where it is rooted in my Christian faith and how to live that out.
So you're saying in essence that hope is not necessarily an emotional feeling, but it is you're pursuing it.
Yeah, it's actually a choice. You know, like I can wake up today and I'm going to say, I'm going to have hope. I'm going to look at life through a lens of hope. I'm going to look at, to me, what that means is I'm going to look at life through God's eyes. You know,
mm-hmm.
and that means that not only am I going to look at myself as a child, a beloved child of God, but then I'm going to look at everyone else that I come in contact with as a beloved child of God. And that kind of perception, that kind of living with that lens of hope, with that kind of lens of love, changes life completely. It's very difficult to stay in hopelessness living with that kind of lens of hope.
Yes.
This is a choice, though. It's not a feeling.
Yes. It's like the Apostle Paul who said, rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice.
Yes. And he said, no matter what the circumstances, right?
Right.
No matter what the circumstances.
And sometimes you're doing it through gritted teeth.
Right. Just, I hate that, don't you?
Yes.
I wish it was easier.
Because
I feel like I grew up being advertised that it was going to be easier.
Mm-hmm.
The Christian life was going to make life easier. I think the Christian life makes life more meaningful and significant and beautiful. It doesn't make it easier, though. And isn't it great that Jesus didn't say, in this life, you won't have trouble. You know, he actually said, in this life, you will have trouble.
You will have
but
trouble.
But take heart. I have overcome it.
So you have a formula. I am anxious to hear what your formula is for hope.
Yeah, sure. Well, thank you. I'll tell you where it came from first. I've done prison ministry here in Nashville for the last 23 years, hanging out with guys on the inside and developing really close relationships and learning so much from them about unconditional love. And I was sitting across the table from one of my buddies, and he said, Mark, it's great that you're the hope guy. It's great that you want to do that. It's wonderful. But can you make it tangible for me? Can you give me something that I can, you know, sink into and make it my own? And I sat there kind of befuddled. But it set me on to pray about it and to mm-hmm. see God about what does that mean? What would that mean to actually, like, put some legs on this thing? And so that's what led me to this formula for hope. So it's a three-legged stool. If you look at it that way, the first leg is my hope has to be grounded in faith, like we've been talking about. The fact that God is telling a bigger story with our lives than we can even see or fathom. And he's got us in his hands. It's not all about me. Unfortunately, sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, this is not all about me. I believe that. That's the faith. It's rooted in God. The second part is to be fueled by love. Being fueled by love, meaning I'm fueled by the love that God has for me, the unconditional, unbelievable love that God has for me, which then frees me up to give that away to other people so that everything that I do, all my actions are fueled by love. If it's not fueled by love, I got to keep myself in check on that. So grounded in faith, fueled by love, and then the third leg of the stool is being guided by vision. And this is something that for me is just real practical, like, to get out of bed in the morning, I got to have something I'm working on. And so, like, sometimes it can be a general vision. Like, I am working with God to build the kingdom here on earth. That's a great general mission. My specific mission might be, I'm working on a new CD project. You know, mm-hmm. that gets me out of bed. Or I'm going to go to prison, do my prison ministry. That's like a specific vision. You know what? It works best for people when they think in terms of, like, when you have a vacation, like, you know, 2 months ahead, you can get through today a lot better, right?
That's
you know?
Right.
You're like, oh, I got vacation coming up. And so being guided by vision is a big part of having hope. It helps you get through the day. Helps you get through what you're doing because it keeps you looking forward.
Yes. Where there's no vision, the people perish.
Right. And you know what? I heard the word perish translated as wander. That without vision, we wander.
Yeah.
And isn't our society just a bunch of mm-hmm. wanderers? Mm-hmm. And we're being told what we should think, what we should eat, drink, wear, where we should shop. You know, like we're being told all these things.
Yes.
And so we're wandering. Mm-hmm. But God, I believe God has placed in all of us his desires. And to come awake to those desires requires some serious discipline and some serious work, pulling away mm-hmm. and seeking to say, God, what do you have for me? And how can I live that out to the world?
We'll have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.